Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Let's pray. Father God, these are familiar words, but I pray, Lord, that you would remind us of their purpose, particularly at this time of year, Lord. Remind us of the good news of why we would want to do this. Amen. In the jungle, anyone recognise these pictures? Because in the jungle, elephants are quite unique creatures, aren't they? They come up, they're walking through, doing their patrol in this particular case. So they come to a path that doesn't exist. Well, what do? They just bulldoze their way through. They create their own path. Because they're such large creatures and they do that together, they are uniquely equipped to do that. They will just bulldoze their own path, create a way where one doesn't exist. That's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus bulldozed a path through a brick wall that we could never get over, through, or around. He did what no one else can do and effectively laid a path for us to follow. That's why it's often been said that the way of the Christian is the way of the cross. And there's lots of things that we could get mixed up with in talking like that, but let's see exactly what that means. Why does Jesus say this? Because it's all about following the path that he laid down, the only way through. And there's four elements to this. Four elements. Look at verse 34 again. He said, he called to the crowd to him, along with his disciples, said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." So the four elements to this is submission, self-denial, sacrifice and suffering, and trust. This is the path that he's laid down. This is the path that we must take. Let's have a look at these, each of these elements, one by one. Submission. This is what it means to be a disciple. "Whoever wants to be my disciple," he says. Disciple literally means someone who follows the ways and the teaching of another. That's simply what a disciple means. But within that, you submit to the greater wisdom and authority of that person that you are being discipled by. So at its heart, it's a call to submit to the will of God. And therefore to be willing to put our own desires and wants and ambitions to one side, accepting that God always knows better. To be a disciple is accepting that actually your way will always be better than mine. And therefore, it's a call to follow, not just in words, but in our actions too. Even if that means facing the hardship or the opposition that comes with it. It's not enough just to say we're a disciple. We need to live that out. Secondly, self-denial. So he says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves." Must deny themselves. In the broadest sense, the simplest, easiest way to think of that is, well, God is the boss. Because that gets to the heart of what we're denying. That's the heart of our sin. The heart of our sin is right from birth, we think we belong on the throne. I'm going to decide how my life goes. I am in charge. I don't need anyone else. Anyone who's had babies can see. They'll tell you what they want, when they want it, and they don't want any help. I'm in charge. We want to control every aspect. And part of this self-denial is understanding, actually, we control very little. We have very little control of our lives. I bet every one of us here has used the brake pedal, well, apart from those in the passenger seat, coming down here. And you would have thought, well, I chose to brake, and I applied the pressure to the brake pedal, and that applied the force to the discs. and the pads. But what you don't realise is happening there is that God is the one who's created the physical laws of friction to make those pads and those discs work. We have no control over that. We have no control over all the elements that go within our body to make us make that movement to press the brake pedal. We think we're in control. We control very little. So in the broader sense, God is the buff and the boss. God is the boss. But it also means putting aside our wants and our desires. Self-denial helps us to understand that our feelings, our desires, our wants aren't always right. Because we've already established God knows better. And God is the boss. Just because we feel something doesn't mean that's correct. And isn't it amazing at this day and age that we've turned some sins, as opposed to a violation against God, into something that someone suffers from? Someone suddenly is no longer in the wrong or has unholy feelings, they're now suffering from something. This reminds us that our feelings and our wants, our desires, can be wholly wrong, incorrect. So these first two is about acknowledging who God is and repenting of who we are. And that leads to the next one, sacrifice and suffering. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. And then what? And take up their cross. Take up their cross. It's a strange thing, isn't it? Take up our cross. What's it mean, literally, to take up our cross? It's a willingness to reject the selfish desires and ambitions that shape our fallen nature. And instead, we prioritize God's will for our own lives. What we're saying is, as we take up our cross, is that something else is more important. I'm going to sacrifice what's part of me, what I think is right, actually for something that I'm told is greater and is truly right. We prioritize God's will first and foremost. So the cross, in this context, symbolizes the suffering and the sacrifice that Jesus endured himself. How he set aside himself. And it's a reminder, it reminds us, as we see what happened to Jesus, that taking up our cross will involve suffering, hardship and persecution. And once we've done that, we then follow. We follow him. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. To follow him. To follow him means we trust in him, in everything. We trust our entire life to him. It means that even though we just have a tiny snapshot of what's happening, even though we can't see everything, we can't understand everything, we can't control everything, and we can't decide everything, even though we just have a tiny little window, that's all we need to know that it's better for us to follow Jesus than not to follow him. To follow him means that we're trusting that all his ways, all his commands, are ultimately right and true. And that's literally what makes a disciple. Of course, the question is, why would we want to do it? What's our motivation for doing that? What's our motivation to put aside what we think we want and to endure suffering and hardship? Well, first of all, we do it, just like we saw with those elephants, because that's the path he led and created for us. He did all of those things for each one of us individually out of love, sacrificial love. He did that to enable us to do that. Without that, not only is there no path, neither do we have the ability to follow him on that path. He's the one who literally cleared that route, that way for us. And how did he do that? Well, he denied himself. He is God. We should be serving and honouring him. He came down to serve us. So he put aside what was owed to him for us. He literally took up his cross, carried it up the hill, suffered on it, died on it, gave his life for us on it to redeem us, to take the punishment that we were due. And he did all that to bulldoze that path for us to him. And in doing that, he was prioritizing the Father's will. He said, "Not my will, but yours be done." Prioritized the Father's will, willingly went to death for us, and then rose again so that we could follow that path. Without the rising again, there was no acceptance by God the Father of what he'd done. We follow because he leads the way to the Father through death and into life. And why else would we want to do that? Not only does he do that all for us in love, there are other motivational factors, all tied to who he is. Because he didn't just lead the way, he is the way. That's why he laid himself down. He is the way. Which means that any other route is wrong. There is no other way to life. No other way to be with God. And that's the hard truth that the world today finds difficult to accept. That there is just one objective truth, one objective way. Every other route leads to dead end. No matter how beautiful or attractive it looks, no matter how enticing it may be, any other route other than the way of Jesus is a dead end. Not only that, he's the truth. He literally defines reality. He made reality. And therefore everything else is false. And this is one of the greatest motivational factors, because falsehood gives you nothing. Falsehood deceives. Falsehood can never deliver on its promises. And falsehood is utterly untrustworthy. Jesus is the truth, which makes him totally trustworthy. And of course, he is the life. The fullness of life is only found in him. The fullness of life now is only found in him. And the fullness of life is not found in wealth, health, and prosperity, but in submission, self-denial, self-sacrifice, and trust. That's the beauty of it. That's the truth. That's where we find full life. And then ultimately, when we go to be with him, life in its full, which we can't even imagine now. Life in its purest form. Because all life is found in him, through him, and by him. Which is why he laid down that path. Without that path, without bulldozing that way to him, to the Father through him, there is no way. There's no truth, there's no life, there is no way. He sacrificed and achieved all of that for us. That's the path we take. And therefore we follow likewise. Let me pray. Father God, we do indeed thank you that you have made a way to be with God the Father. Lord, there is no other way. And Lord, the amazing thing is that we see that the way is not lined with golden pavements and money health and wealth, but it's lined with self-denial, sacrifice, because that's the path you lay down. And the incredible truth is, Lord, within those things is actually found the fullness of life. Because to be with you, to walk your way, is to live. And the only reason that we can do that, Lord, is because you've done that for us. So, Father, help us to see those things, not as difficulties or unattractive things, but as actual blessings. To walk in your footsteps is to be truly blessed, because we know that ultimate blessing comes at the end of that path. And Lord, as we do those things, as we set aside our own wants and desires, as we point everything in our life to you, Lord, we do pray that other people will see and choose that path too. Amen.